Welcome to the jungle. Man, it is like a monsoon here in SoCal right now. It is bad. The rain is getting into our house. It is raining hard, man. It's blowing sideways, too. We are coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios in rainy Southern California. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Let me set up hour number three for you. We are efforting Buffalo Sabres head coach Phil Housley. We are efforting Jamal Crawford, Phoenix Suns head coach. He might be next segment. He might be in the last segment of the hour. But those are the two interviews that we're looking at right now. Meantime, telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Meantime, I could start a whole nother rant, whole nother topic, about a phone call or two. We are efforting Phil Housley. Sabres doing a nice job so far this year. Let's go to Omaha, Nebraska. Andrew in Omaha. Andrew, nice to have you on. How are you?
A little sick, so, you know, I'm struggling here at work, but making it, you know.
Yeah, I see you working there, bro. No. When I ask you how you are, I kind of don't care.
Not a very good call.
I really don't care. I mean, when anybody asks you how you are, for the most part, they don't care. Unless you're married to that person or it's family. When somebody says, how are you? They really don't care. It's just a way to fill dead air. It's just a way to kind of greet somebody. It's like a salutation. What they don't want is a medical report. Hey, man, how are you? Damn, where do I start? My back's killing me. My knee's jacked up. Got a bad hip. Like I literally just said, I'm kind of sick at work and struggling.
I'm struggling.
And even then, I would have let it slide, except he didn't really pick up what he wanted to talk about. You ever notice that whenever I say, hey, how you doing? Fine, Rome. How are you? Great. Have you ever once heard me say, yeah, fair to good. Yeah, I'm all right. The answer is just great. Try it. Try that sometime. The answer should always be great, no matter how you feel, because the fact of the matter is the person asking doesn't really give a damn. And I'd even go as far as to say nobody gives a damn. So just say great. And even if you're not great, you'll feel better than the way you really feel if you lie that you are great. How you doing, bro? Yeah, I don't know. I'm at work. I'm not feeling so good. I'm struggling. Way to bring us down, man. Just lie. Like everybody else. This email says, Dear Jim. Oh, this is from Rick in Buffalo. This is way too long of an email for me to read in my Rick in Buffalo voice. Phil Housley was an absolute rock for the Sabres throughout the 80s. And it's about time we finally have a viable coach in the post-Lindy Ruff era. But the real credit for the Sabres turnaround this season goes to me. The Sabres are 10-2-2 since I announced the Buffalo clone tailgate. And the Sabres game on December 18th. Check my Twitter feed in the coming days for details. If you want to show up and have a couple of pops, great. If you want to show up and fight me, even better. No, I should have read this in his voice. Check my Twitter feed in the coming days for details. If you want to show up and have a couple of pops, great. If you want to show up and fight me, even better. I apologize for the recent emails, Jim. I always prefer to call, but I'm kind of a big deal at work. And my busy schedule does not allow for it. And if you're wondering why Matt in Vancouver always emails, it's because he finally realized he's not a very good caller. War my baby brother, Kyle in Green Bay, coming to town in a couple of weeks. War me, taking over Woodscopes in a drunken, uncensored rage this Friday night. Unwar all my fanboys on Twitter. Go away. I don't like you. Son Rick in Buffalo. Rick's awesome. If he's going to take over Woodscopes in a drunken rage, an uncensored drunken rage Friday night, that might be a must listen to episode. Dear Jim, I would like to announce the possible funeral announcement of the one and only 12 Wood. Brad in Corona is scheduled to make his Wood Scopes debut tomorrow night. This could be one of the best Wood Scopes yet, or it will be the end of 12 Wood as we know it. I have $5 on Brad ripping 12 Wood's ass apart. Or maybe Brock from Pacifico will call instead. Chris and Wisco, not a Packer fan. War, he hate me, tossing the coin at the first XFL game. So which one is it? Is Rick in Buffalo going to be on Wood Scopes, or is Brad from Corona going to be on Wood Scopes tomorrow night? There's no way he booked both those guys in the same night. 12 Wood's got to be tripping so hard. If that guy were afraid to talk to me, what's going to happen when the BIC calls? This guy's booking out his ass. If he can get a one-on-one with Rick, I can barely get that. If he can get a one-on-one with the BIC. For those of you who don't know, Wood Scopes is a program about this program. And it's on every Friday night, unless it's bi-weekly right now. I'm not sure. Either way, it's something you want to listen to. If you want information about the show, my man 12 Wood's all about the show and tries to interview as many people as he can that have a legitimate connection and name to the program. His guest list almost rivals the Jim Rome podcast guest list. So I'm not exactly sure who it is. I'm not sure if it's Brad or if it's Rick or if it's both. But if it's either one of them, I'd be listening tomorrow night. Check them out. We are efforting Phil Housley still yet. I'm efforting Jamal Crawford still yet. In the meantime, from the minute the Toronto Raptors made the decision to trade for Kawhi Leonard, everybody has been talking about what's going to happen next. Will Kawhi stay? Did Toronto give up too much for what seemed like a guaranteed one-year rental? Hell, will the dude even show up and play in Toronto? There was actually a question about that. Forget for a minute that Kawhi had a mysterious quad issue that kept him off the court for all but 9 games last year. And remember, the Raptors blew up the best team in the East for a dude that they weren't even sure was going to show up. Remember, 24 hours after making that move, the Sporting News said, quote, "There have been indications that Kawhi would sit out the entire season if necessary." So depending on where he wanted to be and where he ended up, they weren't exactly sure. I mean, scary enough to trade a 4-time All-Star and a 2-time All-NBA baller like DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan, a guy who loved Toronto, a guy who wanted to be there. Even scarier, though, to trade him for a dude who was in the middle of one of the all-time strangest breakups ever. I'll finish that thought momentarily. But as promised, we're joined right now by the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. He is a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame. He retired with the most points and games played by an American-born player in NHL history. The head coach of the gold medal-winning U.S. team at the 2013 World Junior Championships. Buffalo right now is third in the Atlantic. They're at home against Philadelphia on Saturday. We are joined by their head coach, Phil Housley. Phil, really nice to have you on. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks, Jim. Glad to be on.
It's great to have you on, Phil. So let me ask you about the first quarter of the season. You tied the team's best win streak with 10 straight earlier, but you dropped a couple of few tough ones since then, each by one goal. In the past, Phil, it seems like it might have been easy for guys maybe to get down and feel like, here we go again. But from the outside, it doesn't seem like that at all. So how would you describe where your team is at right now, a quarter of the way through the season?
Well, I think, you look at our team, and I think it started back in training camp. Obviously, we had to make some changes to our personnel and our culture, and our leadership group has done a terrific job of buying in and leading by example. And just from training camp, we moved throughout the season, really had a good vibe within our group. They were very tight, and they're playing for each other. Obviously, we've gotten off to a pretty good start here in the first 29 games. We had the 10-game win streak, which was a really, great for our community of Western New York to get the hope back and excitement back in within our city.
Obviously, we've dropped the last four against some really good competition. You know, you look at Tampa, Florida, who's been playing really well of late, and then going into Nashville and then Toronto a couple nights ago where I thought we really played a good game. You know, going into those buildings, it's tough. I liked our game. We weren't getting the results, but if we continue to play like we did against Toronto, we're going to turn this thing around. But I'm really pleased of where we're at right now. Obviously, the 29-game point mark for us.
Phil Housley, you're joining us on the program. You know, Phil, you mentioned the community. The team has been through a number of really challenging seasons, but right now you're in third in the Atlantic. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a city of fans more loyal than Buffalo. So what's it been like for you to come back to the city where you were drafted and where you spent the first 8 years of your career and have the kind of success you're having right now?
Well, it's been awesome. You know, it's ironic that you know, I started my career as a player and I get my first head coaching job in Buffalo. So it's always been a city in my heart where, you know, management took a chance on a young 18-year-old to come in and made the team, and then now giving me an opportunity as a head coach. And, you know, obviously last year was a very difficult year for a lot of reasons, not only on the players, the coaches, but more specifically our fans, especially at home. Was very tough, and we really focused this year, you know, of really concentrating not only to get off to a good start, but really playing well at home. And our home records have been very solid up to this point. But in saying that, our fans have done a terrific job of supporting us, even through the tough times. You know, look at the last 5 years, and I was involved last year. It was very tough, but they continue to support us. You can see the excitement now. The building's packed. It's rocking, and I think the guys have done a terrific job feeding off their energy.
Sabres head coach Phil Housley is joining us. You know, Phil, every time I talk to an NHL coach these days, the topic of young elite players comes up, and you've got a truly special one in Jack Eichel. He had a couple of goals against Toronto on Tuesday. What makes him so good and so unique?
Well, I think number one, his speed and power. When he's using his speed, he's very tough to defend. But the thing that I'm really intrigued about his game this year is just his 200-foot game, whether it's in our defensive zone or is he using his speed attacking through a neutral zone. He's really aware defensively. He's making the right reads. He's heavy in the battle down low, and he's using his speed to get on the attack. I really like that he's playing hard at both ends. And when he's on his game, there's not many players that are better than him when he's on. And he's been huge contributor, not scoring goals, but just offensively doing the things what it takes to win. And he's really, you know, taken on a really prominent role as our captain and has really taken ownership in that and leading by example. And if you look at our team, we've got a lot of young, really young talent group here with Mittelstadt, Thompson, and our first pick overall, Rasmus Dahlin, just to name a few. And, you know, the future looks bright for us.
I mean, Phil, that's an amazing thing. I really, really think that is such a big ask. I think those who know the sport understand that if you get that C on your sweater, regardless of who it is, what city it is, how old you are, that's an enormous thing. That's a really, really rare thing in any sport. The fact that he's your captain at age 21 really blows my mind. I mean, I would never, like, compare any young guy to Stevie Yzerman, but that's like some Stevie Yzerman stuff right there. What's it say about the respect that he's already earned at such a young age?
Well, I think, you know, we had to ask a lot of tough questions after last year, and that goes with our leadership group. And when we named Jack captain, he's really taken it to another level. He's really, you know, matured right now beyond his years. And I think the biggest thing for me when we talk about Jack is just leading by example. He's been done a terrific job, whether it's in practice, setting the tempo, in the games, you know, getting off to a good start. He's a big reason why we're where we are at right now, just by his leadership and leading by example.
We're talking to Phil Housley, Buffalo Sabres head coach. You know, Phil, another thing that keeps coming up to the players or when players and people around the league talk about you, they talk about your ability to communicate and lead. As an example, Eddie Olczyk, one of my favorites, was a teammate of yours. He points out that as a player, you were on a different level from everybody else, and a lot of players who are as skilled as you sometimes have a hard time relating to players who don't have that same talent or skill. So how have you been able to connect with and lead your players as well as you have?
Well, I think, I go back to our leadership group. It starts with them. You know, the communication and the relationship that we've formed even before training camp was really tight. And there's a trust factor in that, you know, when we hold guys accountable, it's for the right reasons. But I think you have to create, really good relationships with your players. You know, we understand that there's different type of players in different roles. You know, there's players that are skilled and they want to make plays, and they have to have a field of where they can try to make plays, because we don't want to take away their creativity. This is an instinctive game. We've got to let them use their instincts to, be creative. But at the same time, we've held them accountable in their play and their effort. You know, those are the two things they can control. If they come out with a complete effort, there's really not much we can ask. And for the most part, we've had 23 guys to 25 guys on the roster that we plugged in at different times, and they've really have played for each other. They don't want to let their teammate down, which is, it's great on their part. And I give a lot of credit to the players, because there's one doing the work. And if we can continue to build the culture and relationships with the players, you're going to get that effort game in and game out.
He is a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame. I would like to reiterate, retired with more points and games played by an American-born player than anybody else in NHL history, the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, Phil Housley. Phil, so good to get caught up and have you on the show. Hopefully we can do it again before the end of the season, and really nice to talk to you.
Hey, it was great talking to you. Thanks for having me.
That was great, Phil. Thanks so much. Appreciate you. Phil Housley, Sabres head coach. God, what a great player. And doing a great job. He is so interesting. Hope you Sabres fans enjoyed that. Hope you hockey fans enjoyed that. When we come back, we are going to effort Jamal Crawford as well. Don't go anywhere. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. We're talking NBA and Suns basketball next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Thanks to Phil Housley, Hall of Famer, Sabres head coach. We are joined right now, as promised, by a guard with the Phoenix Suns, 19 years in the NBA, a three-time Sixth Man of the Year Award winner, 2018 NBA Teammate of the Year Award winner, 6 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds versus Sacramento on Tuesday, one of only 5 players in NBA history with 50-point games for 3 different teams. Phoenix is at Portland tonight. He is a friend of the program. Jamal Crawford is my guest. Jamal, it is so good to have you back. How are you, Jamal?
I'm good. That was a heck of an introduction. Thank you.
My man, you got a great resume. You have a super resume. Always happy to talk about it. Hey, let's go back to the offseason. A number of teams were interested in you, but as you told the Undefeated, you could sign a deal, but you were not going to sign one just to sign one. So what were you looking for in a team and in a situation?
For me, I thought fit was important. Last year I thought it would be a really good fit, but it didn't turn out that way. So for me, I thought fit kind of trumped everything else. And I thought coming to Phoenix, I knew, everybody was like, hey, they're young, they're really young, and they have work to do. But sometimes, like I said before, it's important to help get something from point A to point C, rather than B, just from the end of the game. So for me, I thought it was important to kind of lead the way for the younger group and try to help out where I could.
You just kind of mentioned that, but what do you mean by that exactly? I would imagine that kind of relates to working with the younger guys, but in going from point A to point C, how do you go about doing that, and why is that so important?
Because these are guys that are just kind of starting out their career. Seeing a guy like Ayton, seeing a guy like Mikal Bridges, seeing Ellie, our young point guard, seeing Melton, these young guys, Booker obviously taking that next step. He's already a guy that's established in the league, but taking that next step to true stardom, just kind of getting in their mind frame and giving them knowledge and wisdom and work ethic and just different pointers in the game. And then also doing it by example, seeing guys like Trevor Ariza, who was actually my rookie in New York, Ryan Anderson, and Tyson was here when I signed as well, seeing that nice group of veterans. And I really believed in Igor. I believe he's going to be an outstanding coach. Obviously, he's a first-year coach, and there's things you have to go through. But I believe in the long run, he'll be outstanding.
Jamal Crawford joining us. You know, you've got so much to impart upon the younger guys, but it's not this, just that you're there leading. I mean, you're there grinding every single day like you always have. You're doing the work. You're putting up shots. What is it that keeps you motivated and keeps you putting in all that time these days?
Just love of the game. That's really it. Like, I love the game more than anything else. So for me, as long as I'm on a basketball court somewhere, I'm okay. You know, and to be able to still work at your craft, still get better, not know everything, still want to learn, still want to compete, still want to actually go out there and produce and be in those moments where you can hit winning shots or be in those moments where it's tight games and it can go either way. You know, just that drive, and it really gets the blood boiling. So just pure love of the game.
Phoenix Sun, Jamal Crawford joining us. Now, last month you scored your 19,000th career point. It's a really big number. That's put you ahead of guys like Scottie Pippen. You're closing in now on guys like Bernard King and David Robinson. What does that number represent to you?
It's an unbelievable number. It really is. And for me, like you said, I don't look so much at the number, but I look at the names. You know, some of my favorite players growing up, whether it be Penny Hardaway or Grant Hill or Magic Johnson, you know, Pistol Pete, seeing all these guys that I'm passing, like guys that influenced and had so much influence on my game. So to see the names is just, it's humbling. It really is. And that means more to me than the number, because those are guys who had an effect on my game. Isaiah Thomas, you know, I wear number 11 because of him. So to be able to pass some names like that, it says everything.
Jamal, I could ask you about any one of the guys you just mentioned, but the name that kind of jumps out to me is Pistol Pete. I've never seen a guy play the game like him. I mean, there were some other guys that had a lot of flair, a lot of charisma, a lot of style, a lot of swagger, but I'm not sure I've ever seen a guy like that. What did you think about his game?
It was unique. Think about it right now, right? If you went back and watched it from 20, 30, 40 years ago, it was still transferred to today. You know, it wasn't like it was outdated. It was so far ahead of its time that it was timeless. He had a timeless game. He had a game that you could appreciate even today, all these years later. Seeing what he did in college, seeing what he did in the NBA, hearing stories about him riding down the car with his father, dribbling the ball while the car was moving. So many stories about creativity, and I think sometimes that's the lost art, just the pure love for the game and getting better and new ways to bring different things to the game. I thought he was a trendsetter in that respect.
Jamal Crawford joining us. I agree. Not only is his game timeless, I mean, even today his game would be like, holy bleep, did you see what that guy did? Now, you've had some amazing games in your career, like the time you scored 118 in a game, but you told Dan Wojcicki of the LA Times your favorite game ever was the time you scored 52 against Dwayne Wade in Madison Square Garden. What do you remember about that game?
Well, to be honest with you, I remember I missed my first four shots.
Wow.
I'm such a rhythm guy. I missed my first four shots. And I scored 42 straight points without a miss. So that was just unbelievable. And it was just like you're on stage. I remember Heath Ledger was at that game, Michael Rappaport. There were so many different people, but you just get lost in time. Like, everything's in slow motion. They had just won the championship the year before, you know, and Dwayne Wade's one of the best players I ever played against. So to be able to be on that stage and kind of go back and forth with him a little bit was unbelievable. And it was incredible because I came out with 7 minutes to go. So that was the hottest night of my life. It easily, and I very humbly say, it could have been a 60-65 point game if I'd have stayed in the rest of the way.
Oh, for sure it could have, for sure. And the amazing thing about you missing four in a row to start, you scored 42 straight without a miss at one point. What's it like to be in a zone like that when everything slows down? And is there a way to get into that zone again? Do you try to get into the zone, or is it just something that happens?
It's something that happens, but you definitely have a feel for it. You don't look at the floor to see if it's a three or a two. You're just looking for space. And once you fill that space, you feel like, hey, I can shoot it and it'll go in. Sometimes you feel like you can kick it up there and it might go in. And you just feel lost. And it's amazing because it's never just about you. You know, your teammates are giving you the ball. They're setting great screens. The crowd's getting into it. And you feel all those different things, you know. So it's just an unbelievable feeling. And I scored 50 after that, but never like that, hitting 16 straight shots, and 8 of the 16 were threes, so that was pretty cool.
Jamal Crawford joining us. I think you do a great job on Twitter, and recently you were asked, what's your favorite single Jordan that you own? And your response was, quote, the ones he gave me. So what's the story behind that pair, or the pairs?
Yeah, I actually got a great relationship with him, being in Chicago. I used to work out with him. Funny story, for two straight years I played basketball with him in the summer, and we never lost a game. It was when he was coming back to the Wizards. And he really took a liking to me. I started going to his house to work out with him. He picked me to be in a commercial, Gatorade commercial with him, the old Jordan versus the young Jordan. But he gave me his first pair of Jordans he ever wore against the Bulls. as an opponent, and he gave me the last pair, and I have both pair. So those are my favorite ones.
That's awesome. Jamal, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, and I understand that guys in different generations, it's hard to compare guys. But, I mean, you mentioned it. You had a relationship with him. You played with him, against him. You know what Mike's about. I mean, instead of me asking you who's the GOAT, I'll put it to you another way. I mean, could you argue that somebody's more so than Michael Jordan?
Not for me. It's just he was just excellent. He was so good. If you go watch Come Fly With Me, right, his documentary that came out, it came out the summer of 1990. On there, they were already saying he had dominated basketball and he was the best. He hadn't even won a championship then. Then he goes and wins three in a row. He gets bored with that, goes and plays baseball, comes back after he gets himself together and wins three more in a row, 6 and 8 years. Like, he's just out of this world. And for me, the bigger the moment, the better he was. And he never saw a game seven in the finals. He never lost in the finals. So we may not have seen the most clutch moment that he had in his body, in his mind, in his heart. You know, so for me, it's not even close. He's the best ever.
Phoenix Sun, Jamal Crawford joining us. I appreciate that a lot. You were also asked about the toughest defender you ever faced, and you said Tony Allen. So what was it about Tony Allen and the pride that this guy took in his defense? What made him so tough?
Oh, it was unbelievable. You know, just him coming to the arena, you knew it was going to be a dogfight. He had me thinking on offense, and that's the best thing you could do as a defender is think, have that offensive player thinking what to do, what not to do. And with him, he took so much pride in it. Him getting a stop was like scoring a bucket, and he took full pride in that. He owned that. He didn't ask for help. He wanted that mano a mano challenge, and he was just the best. And then there were other good guys, Doug Christie, Bruce Bowen. But Tony Allen, for me personally, was probably the toughest.
We're talking to Jamal Crawford. I would imagine you have a great deal of pride in this. Your peers in the league voted for you to receive the NBA Teammate of the Year Award. So what does that award mean to you?
That meant everything, even more than the Sixth Man of the Year Awards, to be honest with you. Because when you're getting those type of awards, you know, through the Sixth Man, you're doing a certain number of scoring, a certain number of winning. The Teammate of the Year is not an award you can measure. It's not something you're trying to win. You're not trying to you know, go out there and say, I'm going to be the best teammate to win this award. You're trying to put other people before you put yourself. And that's, to me, spoke more to character and really having somebody else's best nature in front of your own and no agenda. So I was really, really proud of that one.
We're talking to Jamal Crawford. A couple of days back, too, there was this great, great photo of you and Bill Russell spending some time together, knowing what he's meant to the game and to society. What's it like when you get even a second with somebody like Bill Russell? How much do you value that?
Oh, you can't even measure it. You always feel in awe, if that makes sense. And we really developed our relationship this summer. I remember he sent me a text saying he's coming to my pro-am game, and my wife thought I was being catfished. And then when he came, it was funny. It was a pro-am game. My pro-am goes on every weekend. The game almost stopped. It was like frozen in time. It didn't stop, but it actually stopped. And even the players on the court gave him a standing ovation. Everybody in the crowd gave him a standing ovation. He's just – he's royalty, not just basketball royalty, but American royalty. And he's been unbelievable for me and for even people that don't know him. It's just an inspiration.
I agree with you. Before you go, so you've got all these young guys right now that are taking their cue from you and they're learning from you and you're teaching them how to win, how to prepare, how to bounce back every single night. When you were coming up, who were some of the guys that kind of took you under your wing, guys that you respected and admired and that you learned a lot from?
Oh, yeah, Charles Oakley, Rick Brunson, Kendall Gill, Fred Hoiberg, Scottie Pippen. I had some really good vets after my first couple of years. The first couple of years, we were really, really young. And then from there, the next couple of years in Chicago, we had some really, really good vets and guys who really wanted to see the next generation do things the right way. And, you know, it's all these years later, I'm helping pass that on. So those guys are some really good teachers.
Hey, Jamal, last thought. I don't want to paraphrase this because I can't do it justice, but that play, that piece that dropped in the Players' Tribune from Allen Iverson this morning, and he talks about Mike, and he tells the most amazing story that before Michael Jordan's last All-Star game, AI's looking for Mike. He wants to have a moment with Mike. He's looking all over for him. He can't find him. And he finally goes into the coach's office, and Mike is already in his jersey. He's at the coach's desk, feet up on the desk, and he's smoking a cigar before the All-Star game. And AI's like, you got to be kidding me. He's like, this is the coolest dude ever, quote, the Black Jesus. There will never be anybody that cool, and he'll never even have to work to be that cool. Did you ever see Mike do anything like that, or anybody do anything like that for that matter?
Oh, no. I've seen, like I said, being around him for two straight summers, I've seen it all. I've seen where he would actually wear an outfit, right? So he would wear some type of yellow Jordan outfit, and outside he'd have a yellow Ferrari to match, you know, like with his Jordans that probably still aren't coming out. Like, he was the coolest thing ever. And it was amazing because I saw bits and pieces of AI's article. And he's absolutely right. There's a glow around Michael Jordan that you can't even explain. I've never seen it with anybody else. There's a glow around him that's just like, he definitely freezes time. It could be, he's the star that gets the star starstruck, if that makes sense. And that's why he's the GOAT.
That does make sense. And you're right. That's the phrase that he used. There's a glow around Michael Jordan. I love that story, Jamal. It's kind of like he didn't accessorize the outfit with the car. I think he accessorized the car with the outfit. Like if I'm going with my yellow, right?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Friend of the program, and you've got one of the best to ever do it. 19 years in the NBA, Jamal Crawford. Jamal, you know I appreciate you so much. It is always good to have you on the show, and so great to get caught up, Jamal. Thank you so much, man.
Always, Jim. Anytime. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Appreciate you very much, Jamal. He is a pro. He is such a pro. 19 years in. You know what I'd love to? He, and never, ever, ever going to disrespect anybody, he did not have a problem answering the question that I didn't even want to ask. He's like, oh, no, Mike's the best. Mike's the best ever. There's never, ever been a guy like Michael Jordan. That AI piece is amazing. All right, so not to give the spoiler alert, but he found Jordan before his last All-Star game smoking a cigar in his full gear at the coach's desk by himself in the office before the game. Mike was smoking a cigar before his last All-Star game. Pretty much only Mike. My thanks to Jamal Crawford. That was worth the wait. That's always worth the wait. All right, so we'll break. Got a sports update. I just want to reset quickly. Jamal Crawford is one of the most professional athletes I've ever met. Jamal Crawford is one of the most professional people I've ever met. 19 years in and just all about that process. The guy literally needs to play basketball every single day. He said that he gets depressed if he doesn't play 365. Loves the game that much. Such a professional athlete. Professional whatever. Regardless of trade, regardless of business. I love this guy's process, the passion he has for it, how hard he works at it, how much he cares about it. And believe me, he's not going to lose his ability to grind or focus and work prior to his physical ability. That's always the issue, right, with professional athletes. What goes first? Your ability to prepare and grind and work and desire, or your actual physical skills? Depends on the athlete. There's no doubt in my mind that his will is going to outlast everything else. I love the guy. He's one of my favorites. He is so great to talk to. All right, so one last segment. Let's wrap this thing up. I've got time for a few more phone calls. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go first to Los Angeles. Man, it is pouring here in L.A. Our satellites are down. It's coming inside the building. It is raining hard. Fabian, doggy dog. You know what I'm saying. What's up, Fabian?
Doggy dog. Hey, tell me about it, man. I'm on the road. I mean, as it is, without the rain, people act, you know, they drive like, I don't know. I can't say something about it, right? You know, and just people, now that I'm on the truck, dude, I look left, I look right. Everyone's on their phone, man. Can't they just leave the phone for a little bit, you know? Dude, I wanted to talk to you about the Dodgers real quick, you know. I don't know. I just don't think Manny Machado or Harper, I don't know. I just don't like those cats here, you know. I think we have enough batting, you know. What we need is pitching, you know. So they should look that way, you know what I mean? And then the Lakers, I was curious, man. I wonder who told Alonzo Ball's dad to shut up already, because I haven't heard nothing from that cat, which is good, you know. Dude, I know you're limited on time, but I had this one thing that Solwood had asked me to pass on to you. Yeah, and you pretty much touched on it a little bit ago. He'll be on Friday night. That'll be Brad and Corona. He's going to have Brad and Corona. So just for the new clones, you know, if you want to get a taste of Homeboy, which to me is like number one clone right there, I think he's awesome, you know. So that's basically it, dude. I'm at the In-N-Out in Corona at the time. I just pulled over because, you know, it's where I could use the phone. But, yeah. That's pretty much all I got for you, Mr. Rome. And King Rome, that is, huh? All right, Romy, talk to you soon. Thanks for the vine, and drive safe, all you out there. Late.
Dude, you did it, Fabian. That was the most lucid, coherent call that Fabian has ever made. Doggy dog! That was so good. Okay. I don't know if I've said this in a long time, Fabian, after one of your calls. Rack him. Doggy dog. What's going on, man? That job suits you well, doggy dog. You sound great. Doggy dog. You get through an entire phone call without getting run. What's next? Me interviewing you? What's next after that? You hosting this show? Doggy dog. I don't want to say that I'm proud of another man like that, like a grown-ass man, but I'm proud of you, Fabian. That was really good, really strong. He mentioned Brad and Corona is going to be on the Woodscopes. Hey, listen, I mean, you can never get enough of Brad, right? Every time Brad calls, the response is, man, that was so amazing. That was great. He's the best. He's the GOAT. Why doesn't he call more? So you're going to get an unfiltered, unplugged, let it rip kind of look on Friday night. Hey, 12, what are you sure you want to do that, bro? Do you think for a second that Brad is going to... Hey, look, I don't know. I haven't talked to Brad. But do you really think for a second that Brad's going to sit there and call that show and sit back and answer questions? Is that what you're expecting? I don't know. I think it's going to go really well. Really well. Maybe not for the Woodman himself. But even then, that's great, right? If you can get Brad... And how many times did you have to call Brad to get him to commit? Probably even more times you had to call me to get me to commit. That's going to be a good episode now. You know, somebody communicated with me, a listener communicated with me, and that listener was saying that they were going through kind of a tough time, a challenging time. And the listener said, you know, Jim, your show has helped me. And believe it or not, Woodscopes has helped me. I do believe that. Again, Woodscopes is great because it's a place for clones to congregate where they can rap with each other. They can rap about the show. They can say what they like. They can say what they don't like. It's cool, man. It's like a great bar. It's Friday night, and you get to come together and talk about the show. So I understand that completely. 12 Wood, Broham, thank you very much. Good looking out. You've done a really nice job for this show, and I appreciate it. I want the record to reflect. I appreciate the Woodscopes, and I appreciate 12 Wood. And most of all, my man, Stucknut, Steve Owen H-Town. Steve was 12 Wood about 50 years before 12 Wood was 12 Wood. Stucknut's incredible. You should go check out Stucknut's site. He's archived literally anything that's ever happened on this show for the past 20 years. I'm not even sure how, but he has. Let's go to Nick in Boise. Good to have you, Nick. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Hey, great to talk to you. Longtime listener, first-time caller.
Great. Thank you. What's up?
Hey, not much. Hey, I just wanted to tell you that interview with Jamal Crawford, that was incredible. It was I'm going to do my own word here, and I'm going to call it incred-amazing. That was baller. That was it. That's why I listen to the show. You have guys like that on. Incredible talent. I always knew that. Been watching him for a long time. Hearing him talk, man, now that's just my favorite player and favorite dude.
You got it, Nick. I appreciate it. So that guy was so good that he took to making up words. It was incred-amazing. Got the huge call coming up. What you want to do is skip the gym and get a high-energy workout with Peloton. Take live studio cycling classes from the comfort of home with New York City's best instructors. You can ride with thousands of other Peloton riders across the country on their interactive leaderboard. Track your own metrics over time. Continue to beat your own personal best. Head to onepeloton.com to learn more. I need it. I'm going to get my ride in today. I can't wait. That's a great holiday gift, honestly. Get one. Go to onepeloton.com. We had J.B. Bickerstaff, Memphis Grizzlies head coach, Phil Housley, Buffalo Sabres head coach, Jamal Crawford, Phoenix Suns guard. Really good interviews. Make sure you check out Jim Rome, episode 62 of our podcast. Bobby Hurley, it's live right now. It's a great listen. Thanks for listening. Have an amazing day. We will be back here. Finish the week strong tomorrow. See you then. We're out.